In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Today is January 30th, year 2011, and it is the fourth Sunday after Epiphany. And today is going to be another one of our news reports about some recent events that are taking place. And we're going to deal mostly again with the hypocrisy of the United States and their so-called democracy, which is nothing more than illusion, as we have said many times. The reason the devil likes a democracy is because that most people are evil. And so now, if you let people vote as to what is going to take place, they're going to vote for evil. But just perchance, if there's a group of people that are not going to vote predominantly for the evil that the one world government wants, then democracy is not going to be very good for those people. We're going to prove that today about what happened this week with the revolution in Egypt. There's a giant revolution in Egypt against Hosni Mubarak. Now, first of all, he was in power for 30 to 32 years over there. Technically, he's what the United States would call a dictator, because nobody has ever ruled but him. But guess what? Lo and behold, folks, the United States has been friends with him. For 32 years, not only are they friends with him and his Egyptian government, they send him $1.5 billion every year. Support. Now, wait a second. You get somebody in South America that rules like that, and they call the man a dictator, step down, we want democracy, we want somebody else to now rule, you've been in there long enough. They did it just recently to Putin in Russia even. They got all over his case because they said, you're ruling too long, we want elections. So what did they do? They had a democratic election, and they put in power Dmitry Medvedev, and the United States still wasn't really pleased with that because they said Putin's really running him in the background. He's still ruling Russia. Because evidently, Vladimir Putin did something against the one world order that's bringing the Antichrist to power through the Zionist movement and the pro-West policy. The big thing with the Russians is that they're anti-West. Even though they might be a little bit pro-Zionist on certain areas, on the religious sectors, but they're attacking the secular Zionists, they're really not pro-West. So they're very angry with the Russians for that. And all of a sudden, the Russians bow down and they have a democratic election. And anytime somebody rises up in South America that doesn't want to sit down and give up his rule to an election, a democratic election, what does the United States call him? A dictator. Because this democracy, which is very evil, because it doesn't like single-man rule. But my point is, Hosni Mubarak has been ruling for 32 years in Egypt unopposed. Doesn't even have a vice president. And the United States says nothing about him. Why? Because he's pro-West, and more important than pro-West, he's pro-Zionist. You have to be both. Pro-West, pro-Zionist. Those two things are very necessary for the United States to support you. So the United States is not really concerned about democracy. Or say they would have been arguing all these years for Hosni to step down and have an election and put another person in his place. They're not doing that. Which shows the hypocrisy of this. We said, and many times we say, it's not about democracy. There's no such thing really as a democracy. The people in power in the world today are the number one rulers are the Zionists, the Jews, the apostate Jews, and second to that, the Freemasons and the Anglo-Saxon, in particular, Protestants. But now even like the so-called Catholics have become Protestant, the Anglo-Saxon races, they're especially coming from England. These are the two powers that are vying in the world for, and you have to be backing these two powers, and more in particular, not even the Anglo-Saxon power, mostly the Jewish power. If you're against the Zionists, you're off. Look, if you want to prove it even, they had a democratic election in Palestine in 2006, and the Hamas party for the first time won the election, and is ruling now the Palestinians, overthrew the Fatah party, and it was democratically elected. The people said, we want the Hamas, and the Hamas is anti-West and anti-Zionism. And so what did the United States do? They don't accept it. They don't accept the election, they don't accept the Hamas party, and they don't accept the democratically elected government. It's not about democracy. Why did they not accept it? Because they are anti-West, anti-Zionism. The people, can't you see what's going on over here? The hypocrisy of the United States. When this Egyptian revolt broke out, I was first wondering who's. Sometimes you got a lot of liberals, like feminists and homosexuals, like in Iran, right? Now, when the Iranian thing broke out, the United States press was jumping behind the people full score to go against Ahmadinejad because they don't like him. He's zealously against the West and he's against Zionism. So they were full score even backing that revolution. Well, when this happened, I said, I don't see the United States backing the Egyptian revolution because their man is in there. Hosni Mubarak is pro-West, pro-Zionism. I don't see them back in this revolution, and indeed they weren't. It started out maybe with a few liberals in the crowd, but the wise Muslims wisely wisely, what they did is join themselves to that particular movement under the guise of democracy and said, we want democracy. You said that people are allowed to be able to have their own government and vote their people in. This guy's been in for 32 years. And now when the Muslims got involved, the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, because they're completely anti-West, anti-Zionism, then the United States is getting a little bit worried and they don't know what to do. Because if they take the wrong side and the people overthrow the government, they're going to have the people completely angry against them. And if they don't take the side of Hosni and they support him and he wins, then he's going to be angry at them and turn against the West and Zionism. It's a great little thing that's happening here in a way. It's got them nervous. So nervous that Benjamin Netanyahu even put out an order to all his ministers in Israel, don't say anything about what's going on in Egypt. Keep your mouth shut. And let's see what happens in the end. Because Hosni Mubarak, after that peace agreement with Anwar Sadat and Israel, Mubarak is holding to that peace agreement. He's totally pro-Zionism. So they're worried in Israel, what's going to happen with this revolution? They really don't want the Muslim Brotherhood to succeed. And if there is a revolution, the United States is going to try to support some liberal, pro-West, pro-Zionist group. And generally, your pro-West, pro-Zionist groups are homosexuals, feminists, bankers, greedy financial people. These are the ones that the West can usually depend on. But the biggest worry is the zealous Muslims over there that are going to be a threat, that if they come to power, then you're going to have a government in Egypt that is anti-West and anti-Zionist. And that's going to be a real threat to Israel because they're on the border of Israel and they'll start helping the Palestinians. But my whole point on this is, they were interviewing Joe Biden even, and Joe Biden, Vice President Joe Biden, and they said, well, isn't this a dictator? And he says, oh no, we don't look at him as a dictator. Why not? Why not? He's been in power for 32 years. Your definition is a dictator is a guy who rules and doesn't let anybody else take his place. Right. Why is this man not a dictator? Because he's pro-West, pro-Zionism. And why is Hamas on your banned list when they were democratically elected by the people? See, it's an ideological, religious battle. When the people come to power who they don't want, they're going to condemn them. It doesn't matter whether they're democratically elected or they're dictators. That's not the real issue of this whole world that you're looking at here. They use democracy as one of the most powerful tools because most people are evil, so evil that they will always vote for the most evilest cause. But it doesn't always happen that way. And when you get the lesser of evil people, like in a zealous Muslim country, rising up, who at least oppose homosexuality, feminism, Zionism, and some of the materialist, capitalistic ways of the West, and the Jews, they go and they rail against them. I tell you, the people in this country, even, who's running this country really, are the apostate Zionist Jews. They're the number one power in the whole world today. And then comes the Anglo-Saxons. The English, Anglo-Saxon hierarchy. And you see these two fighting with one another. The Freemasons, they fight. The Freemasons are trying to buck, but they're under the thumb of the Jew. Anytime the Jew pushes the finger, the Freemasons got to bow down to the Jew and do his duty. But every now and then you will see this conflict between the Freemason and the Jew. You see it in particular with the incident that just took place. This was a while ago, probably was about a year ago, with the oil accident over there in the Gulf. And if you want to know what really happened in that incident, what's going on with that, I believe firmly, was sabotage by the Zionist Jews to get back at the Freemasons. The Freemasons and the Anglo-Saxons were promised oil. That was what the agreement was, and the Jews were promised the money power. Jews, you can print the money. The Anglo-Saxon, Freemason, Protestants, they can have the oil power. But the person who has the money power is always the most powerful because the oil and everybody else that owns other products got to go through the banking system with their money. So whoever controls the money is the ultimate boss. That's why one of the Rothschilds said, you can do whatever, you can have, what do you say, what was that quote?
Michelle Rothschild said, I don't care who makes the laws in the land, as long as I control the money,
I control the people. As long as I control the money in the banking system, I control everything. But the Anglo-Saxon Protestants, in particular the Freemasons, were promised oil power. And it is a substantial power, and that's why they're not totally 100% full Zionist, they're half Zionist. They support like sharing Israel because they get a lot of their oil from Saudi Arabia, and the Jews know that. And they know that this is a thorn in their side, the Jews. But they had to make this promise when this harlot was coming to power to appease the Anglo-Saxon Protestants and the Freemasons. Particularly the Anglicans from England. And these are the two power groups that are fighting against one another. But my point is that just recently, before that oil crisis, about a year or two ago, they had the financial crisis in which the Federal Reserve Board people were called, the Jews, were called before the Congress, and they took them to task for taking the money and bringing it out of the country. They were loaning billions of dollars out of the country, and they wouldn't even tell anybody where the money was going. Now, this got the Freemason guys a little bit angry at the Jewish money bankers, and they railed them in front of the Congress, and they had an inquisition against the Jew, the money power of the Jew. You can see that on our website in a financial conspiracy. Well, when I saw that, that was one of the big losses that the Jews took. Jews win 99% of the time, but there's still 1% of the time when they don't win. Why are they winning 99% of the time? Because God allowed it as a punishment to the world, because they need to bring Antichrist to power. They don't bring Antichrist to power, and Antichrist doesn't rule the world unless he has total power. But every now and then, God gives them a loss, gets them to shake in the boots a little bit, and there is a resistance against them. Well, that particular inquisition against the Federal Reserve Jews was embarrassing to them. It was threatening their money power. It was a big shot against the Jew power in the world, and they knew it. So what did they do about a year later, I think, or even 6 months or a year? I don't know what the timing is. The oil thing took place.
Yeah, right, and then...
Well, right after that, the big oil thing blows up in the Gulf, and then it deals a blow to the oil power. And I really firmly believe that that particular thing was sabotaged, and it gave a black eye to the oil, which represent the Anglo-Saxon Protestant Freemasonic power. The Jew got back at them through this particular sabotage in the Gulf incident. And it put oil as bad. They were on the defensive. They lost a lot of money through lawsuits. And they're now even probably going to try to get in some other type of alternative energy stuff so that the Freemasons and Anglo-Saxons don't have so much power through the oil industry. But you can see that struggle. People may not have seen what's going on in the background, but that's how the Jew got back at the Anglo-Saxon Protestant and Freemason. I firmly believe there was a sabotage in that particular oil thing. Now, the fact that these guys control the oil, and it was promised to them by the Jews that they can have the oil power, is obvious because of their great greed in oil. We shouldn't have to be using oil the way we do today. You can have nuclear power, you can have solar energy. And you could actually really supply the whole Southwest where we're living, right here, with solar energy. Literally with solar energy. We just saw New Mexico, and the paper we got the other day, they got like this 500,000 solar panels. They're just putting up. They're starting to do it now because they want to sort of nip away at the Freemasonic Anglo-Saxon power of oil. And then they're getting angry too because they're going to the Jew. You promised us this power, and now you're taking it away because there's a struggle going on here. So this is what's happening. There was another struggle that just took place in Chicago when Rahm Emanuel wants to be the mayor over in Chicago. And he has no residency there, technically, according to the law. He really doesn't. The law is you have to live there at least a year before the elections. Well, he was living in Washington, but he had an apartment over there that still was his. So the Board of the Elections said, okay, he's a resident, he can run for mayor. But the fact that he stepped down in the Obama thing and went over to Chicago, it was an order from the Jews that they want him in Chicago. A mayor of the big cities is a very powerful, powerful, powerful position. And they probably want him to get ready. A few things are going to be happening in these big cities, and they want him there as mayor. So the Board of Elections said it's okay. The appellate court that's above it said no, because they looked at it and said, you're renting out this particular unit, you're not living in it. It has to be available for you to come back and live in it, and you have to live in it and leave. But when you're renting it, that's not good enough for residency. So they said, no, you cannot run for mayor. We heard that and said, wow, somebody's bucking against the Jew power. It's the Anglo-Saxon Protestant Masonic power bucking against the Jew power. Bucking. And we said, and then Rahm Emanuel came out all kinds of confident. Well, nothing without a battle. We expect a battle, but I'm confident we're going to win. He knew. Like I say, the Jews win 99% of the time. So then it goes to the Illinois Supreme Court, and they overturn it, and now he's back on the ballot again. So I'm just saying that you can see the struggle between these two major powers.
Well, I was going to say, after they appealed it to the appellate court, they printed out 300,000 ballots without his name on it before they, you know, like they... The Mason was trying to print out the ballots, 300,000 without his name, so he wasn't going to be on the ballot. Then they
had to start reprinting his name out.
It
shows you this battle that's going on. There is a struggle.
Yeah.
And we're telling you that forget this democracy nonsense. It doesn't work. It never does. It's unreal. An example is even in Egypt when they're arguing. They're going up to the people in Egypt. The Muslims are being wise as serpents, simple as doves on this. They're taking advantage because they don't like democracy, a zealous Muslim. He obeys his religious imam. They like theocracy. And that's what Catholics should be. Theocracy is the ultimate rule of God. Your religious leaders are the ultimate rulers. And then your state leaders, who are of the religion but secular, they're your secondary rulers, but therefore they don't like democracy. But they're using it to knock this bum out and hopefully see what comes in after it. But in the beginning, they're interviewing some of these people on the street, and they're going, we want the government for the people, for the people. He's been in there for 32 2 years, he, even when they do have some local elections, he rigs the elections. All those people are in power. He doesn't even have a vice president. We the people want to rule. And I think somebody asked him, like, well, who would you like to rule then? Like, all of you at one time? I mean, I don't think you can all fit in the palace. That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? I mean, are you all going to fit in the palace, every one of you? Or who's going to be your ruler? And then if he's your ruler, is he not your leader? I mean, the whole thing is stupid. People power stinks. It's really evil in itself because it promises people a power that's a fantasy, it's an illusion, it's not real, and it breeds rebellion in people so that they don't want to obey any hierarchical authority. But my point is not to condemn the democracy principles. I already condemned it many times before. It's an absolutely heretical, upside-down principle. But I'm proving to you in the sermon that it's not even real. It's a fantasy. It's an illusion. I'm showing you the hypocrisy of the United States. Egypt wasn't, according to their terms, a dictatorship for 32 years. And they gave the guy $1.5 billion because he was pro-West, pro-Zionism. Hamas is democratically elected in 2006 over in Palestine for the first time, overthrows the Fatah party, was in power for 40 years, and the United States says, no, we don't accept them. We don't like them because they're anti-West, anti-Zionist. Now, there's another point, too. The fact that that was the first time the Hamas party ever came to power or had any kind of power at all. The election the year before that, they came to a little bit power in the offices. But the Fatah power was in power for 40 years. That would be like in this country if you had the Republicans or Democrats in power for 40 years, all your senators, all your congressmen, and you were all Republicans, and then one Democrat finally gets in, and they all start yelling. So where's the democracy, you know? For 40 years, you weren't really a democracy. And there's not even a third or a fourth party. So the whole thing's an illusion. But what's going on over there in Egypt, they're worried about it, though, because this time the Muslims did a very smart thing by organizing the people out there and added to the people force of this particular revolution. And their goal, and that's what they're afraid about, Israel now in the United States, that the Muslim Brotherhood's going to get in there, and they're absolutely anti-West, anti-Zionist. And I would say even there's quite a few Egyptians in there that are anti-West, anti-Zionist. And that's what they're worried about. What the United States wants to do, like they did in Iran, they'll support the liberals, the homosexuals, the feminists, the capitalists, the materialistic greedy people, the people like democracy that support these humanistic principles. They will support those people. And the United States was, they were supporting the that particular revolution because it was controlled by liberals and the West instigated against the ruler Ahmad Ahmadinejad because they didn't like him because he was anti-West, anti-Zionist, and they were over there with all the press, let these people go, let my people go, you're a tyrant, and all this kind of stuff. But they're not doing that now in the Egyptian thing. Because Mubarak can say back, well, you know, you supported me for 32 years. The only reason that, you know, so you're a hypocrite. So they're not saying anything. The most Obama's saying, we don't want violence on either side, but they're laying back.
Yeah, they are.
They're laying back. And they're going to wait to see what happens when the dust settles. And you know the United States is already over there actively trying to promote and give money to the liberal parties. What they're really trying to tell you, go to every homosexual group, go to every feminist group, go to every capitalistic group, go to every group that is materialistic and greedy for power. Go to those people in Egypt and give them money, and we want them to come out on the top of this thing. They even sent a guy over there from this country. I forget what his name was, an Egyptian guy. The United States sent him over there because they really want him to be the next guy. They're trying to set up a leader to this movement. I forget his name.
The UN guy there was a UN guy.
Some UN guy, and I think he was living in the United States.
With him.
That's right. He's protesting with them. They want him to be risen up. But the main thing here to tell the people to show you what's really going on in the forces back, or even with this oil situation, people don't see things the right way. That thing, look what happened when Bill Clinton bucked against the Jew. Bill Clinton is your Anglo-Saxon Protestant, your Freemason, bucking against the Jew. Monica Lewinsky was all over the paper. George Bush Sr., when he bucked the Jew, what happened? When he didn't want to go over there in Kuwait and fight. Bush didn't want to go over there. They were going to impeach him. I mean, his impeachment was up within the very next week. It was all over the papers. All of a sudden, he says, okay, I'm going to go into the war. I'll go into Kuwait. The impeachment charges were dropped. Who controls the world? The white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Freemasonic power nails the Jew on the Federal Reserve Bank because he sees that he's undermining his whole country and their old Freemasonic ideal of the United States harlot whom they adore, and they see they're soaking his harlot. They get angry, call him before the board. Jew gets angry and says, I'm going to go after your oil power now and sabotage and make a big incident with the oil. So oil gets a black mark.
Yeah. Well, that thing was like Well, the climax was that Goldman Sachs was on there. They had him in front of the Congress that at the end.
Goldman Sachs.
They had him and they were grilling him, and that was it. Boom, right up. That's when the oil thing happened. Right
there.
But other than, but it was going on. I think late 2007 is when it started, when they were going, like, investigating
him. Yeah.
But then once that it came up to whenever that 2009, I think, was that, or whenever the oil thing was. But right before that, Goldman Sachs was right in the Congress, and they were blasting him.
And then comes the oil thing.
Right. Boom. Next day,
that's it. They're done.
Spot.
Right. Exactly.
Because they're the big.
Yeah, now, you know, justice is served either way. You know why? Because the oil companies are greedy. I agree with that. But it was done for the wrong reason. They were you say, how come we don't have alternative energy? We really should. Because it was promised. That's their ace in the hole. That's where they're getting all their money from. Just like the mafia was promised, the small fish were promised some controlling the cities and the ports. They were given gambling casinos. And they were given some minor things. That's what the mafia was promised. And just like the Indians were promised pagan Indian stuff out here. But the big power, two power wealth. There's the first is the Jew with the banking system and the money, and then the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Freemason with the oil power. Big money in oil. You can make cars that are so much more efficient that don't even drive on oil. Why don't you do these things? Because the minute they start to do it, the Anglo-Saxon power is going to get angry because they're Jew and say, this is our territory. You're messing with us. But this was a little bit of a get back. I'm just trying to show to people what's really going on behind the scenes. Stupid people believe everything that they hear on the TV. They think that democracy is a viable thing and we the people have power. Right? That's the stupidest thing I ever heard in the world. We the people have power. Anyway, what kind of power did they have in California when the people voted out the homo thing and they still have it?
Because
that judge came up and said, I don't care what the people want. So what's this? There's another example of democracy in work, right?
Yeah.
The people in California, because they see a lot of the black people and Hispanics, to their credit on this point, voted against the homo thing. Yeah. If it wasn't for the Spanish and the blacks over there, all these other people, you would have... But they voted against it, and then some judge comes up and says, well, you don't have a right to do that. We're going to let the homos have the right to get married, I think. It was over the marriage thing and other issues like that. So there's an agenda that if the devil doesn't get what he wants through democracy, he's then not going to support that democracy and overthrow it and put in a dictator if he has to. It's never about, this is an illusion, but the thing I say that's most evil about democracy, though, it imbibes inside people an illusion of freedom. It's an illusion because nobody's free. Nobody except for God. God is the only one free to do whatever he wants. Everybody else, even the Blessed Mother's under God. Nobody. But when you're in heaven, you really are free, because when you're under God, you're truly free, because God knows what's best. But he's still the boss. God rules, then comes Mary, then Michael's up there ruling too. It's a hierarchy of obedience. And democracy imbibes in people the fact that they were saying in Egypt, we the people, we want power. It's goofy. You want power. Do you want it, or the guy behind you? Which one? Well, he said he wants the people, but you're all people. Now you can't all fit inside the building and sit on the throne. Now you can't all fit. It's too many people. So, how are we going to handle this? They don't see the real powers that are... They're just pawns. They're stupid sheep that are being led astray because of their stupid belief in democracy. Now, I know that the Muslims, at least the zealous ones, don't like democracy, and they're using this to their advantage. And this is a shameful thing to these so-called Catholics who are not real Catholics today. They are completely imbibed with the spirit of Protestantism, democracy, Freemasonry. They're a bunch of liberals. They hate obedience. The ultimate religion, the ultimate goal of God is a monarchy, single man rule. That's God's rule for his people, in particular a theocracy. When Moses was their not only their king, but their spiritual leader. That's God's goal for men. To teach them that in life there's a hierarchy. In your family there's a hierarchy. The father's the head of the family. The wife has to be submissive and obedient to the husband. The children have to be submissive and obedient to the mother, to the father and then the mother. There's this hierarchy of obedience in society. The whole principle of democracy eliminates that. But I'm just showing you that the real people that rule the world know that. If just look in the military or any government. Go to Walmart and see if you can do whatever you want. Go any job, really. It's a democracy. I don't want to come in today because I don't feel like it. I'm not going to do my job today because I don't feel like it. I want to go over and do this instead of that. How could you even run a business like that? It's an illusion. Even I had my own business at one time. My own business, right? So I'm my own boss, right? No, you know who my bosses were? The public. If I don't please the public with the product I sell, I'm out of business. I'm a slave to the public. I'm a slave to the public. I have to produce something that they want and that is good enough so that they would buy it. So no one is free. This freedom thing is a big stinking illusion. And this little sermon was to give you a little insight into some of these things that are going on in the background and the giant hypocrisy of the United States. When they ever go against a dictator, believe me, and they really hate him, that means that guy's doing something to hurt the one world government of the Jews and the Freemasons. Whenever they go against the South American dictator, oh, Hitler's the big one they don't like because he was the biggest threat against their whole movement. And I always knew it. Why didn't they like him? Not just because he barked out orders, because he did. But he was a major blow to the Judeo-Masonic world. If he would have succeeded, we would have had a 50 years of peace and there would have been a different world today. But it wasn't God's will. It was God's will that the evil people should win and come to power. That's why, because how could, look, the Mubarak's in power for 32 years and they're not saying nothing about the guy. And they say Egypt is one of the biggest nations that violates rules on torture and all this. That's where the United States sends a lot of people when they want them to get tortured. What's the word they use for that? There's a word they use for that? Rendering. And they send him over to Egypt. So the United States, we're not allowed to torture under Geneva Convention and all that. We'll just send a guy into Egypt and let the Egyptians torture them. And so I don't understand. If you ever really knew what your government was all about, we're trying to tell you people, if you saw the face of the people who are really running this country, you'd shake in your boots, but maybe not. Maybe you like it. But I've seen these people firsthand. I know them. I grew up with Jews. And I've seen the Anglo-Saxon Protestant Masons too. And I tell you something, these people are very wretched and evil if you really see what they talk about in their back rooms and what they're plotting for this world. But you people deserve it. Why has God allowed you to fall under this spell? Because you rather listen to them than the true God. So let this be your day of salvation when you wake up and get away from all these lies that you're being told and listen to what we're telling you. Put yourself under the yoke of Christ the King and His Catholic Church and us, me, His religious ruler on earth right now, and us good Catholics, and do everything you need to do to study my website, to learn the true Catholic faith and come to the true Catholic Church, because that's your only hope to get out of this giant mess that we're looking at. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. And can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.